Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome in to the Cubs Talk Podcast. I'm David Kaplan, joined by Todd Hollinsworth and Hall of Famer Ryne Sandberg here in Cleveland. And it did not go well in Game 1 of the 2016 World Series. Cubs pounded by the Indians late. And the final is 6-0, two home runs for Perez, and the Cubs fall to Corey Kluber, who was very, very good. Their bullpen gets the job done. Again, 6-0, the final. Cubs struggle tonight. John Lester not sharp. In fact, the first inning, a couple of walks, a 20-foot hit, and a hit-by-pitch, and all of a sudden you're two runs in the hole, and that was the ballgame, boys.
That wasn't typical John Lester right there early on. Really looked like he struggled getting ahead of hitters and throwing strikes. And I learned a long time ago when you walk multiple guys in an inning, somehow those guys seem to
come back to haunt you.
Whether it's a swinging bunt, a hit by pitch, so it came back to haunt him right there. They got their early lead with their ace on the mound, and Kluber was outstanding. And so along with Miller, pretty much summed it up right there. They scored in the middle with the home run. They scored late. So the Tribe kind of had a recipe for them for a W tonight.
Yeah, you know, when it comes down to how the Indians are going to win this series, if they win it, they win tonight. I mean, it's very specific how they have to win. They have to score early. Their pitching has to hold up, but the idea is to get the ball to their bullpen, to Andrew Miller in particular, and that's really what they did
he
tonight.
He was not great
tonight.
No,
he wasn't. He wasn't. But again, when you come into the series, the idea is, what do we have to do to win a baseball game? Terry Francona has talked about this. They have certain guys that can help them obviously win, like Corey Kluber going tonight. They have some deficiencies in this rotation by definition. They don't have the deepest bullpen, and they're not the best offensive team, and they've had some struggles this postseason, as the 192 batting average outside of Lindor tells you coming into this ballgame. But what they've done, they've gotten early leads, and they've turned that ball over to the bullpen rather early. So when you look at this one, you say, yeah, Kluber was outstanding in this ballgame, no doubt about it. But when you get the ball to Miller with a lead, that's the idea. That's their formula. And when you see that, it has not lost for them yet this postseason.
Let's talk about Corey Kluber. While Miller wasn't as sharp as we saw him in the ALCS, I think he threw almost 50 pitches, Corey Kluber was outstanding.
He was outstanding, and evident to that was at least one time through the Cubs lineup, there were so many non-swings, and even the second time through. I think he had a moving fastball. He was throwing it at the hip of the left-handed hitter. It was coming over the middle. He was starting outside to right-handed hitters, coming back over the corner with no swings at it. And then he had his slider along with that, which was a pitch that he threw to guys that either had two strikes on them or guys that are fastball hitters. So he had it working with the two pitches. He mixed it well. He elevated when he wanted to. And the Cubs didn't threaten him too much. So he kind of had a nice, smooth sailing out there.
Corey Kluber was outstanding. I thought he took advantage of a strike zone that was hard to figure out, I think, early in this ball game. The bottom line is, you know, sometimes umpires will play off the emotion of the crowd. I felt like a lot of that went on in this ball game. There were some borderline pitches that went his way. I'm not convinced they went John Lester's way early in this one. But he made pitches, and he hung around the plate, and that's always the key, Rhino. I mean, as you know, when you're making pitches, and if you just miss off, but you get right back to that spot again, a lot of times umpires will start giving you those calls again, where I felt like John Lester made some borderline pitches, but then he ended up off those outside corners. So, when he got back to it, he wasn't getting those calls, and it felt like it was, you know, kind of tilted one way and not the other. But I think that's really the reason, is that Lester didn't throw enough good strikes where Kluber did, and I think it benefited him as he started getting a few more calls as the outing went on.
Yeah, the Cubs had a couple of opportunities in this ball game, but that first inning for John Lester was really where I thought he had some troubles. He hit a guy with the bases loaded. He gave up a 20-foot swinging bunt with the bases loaded. Yep. He walked a couple of guys. Early when he walked, I think Napoli, it was like, all right, you pitched around Napoli. He has the most success against him. But he just never got into a rhythm.
Yeah, he really did. He kind of struggled with, you know, where his command was at. And I think Rhino makes a good point. And I think it's from his managerial experience that he knows this and feels it. When you put guys on base for free at the big league level, you end up paying the price. It's almost a guarantee, Cap. If you're going to put guys on from a walk, there's going to be a hit. And it might be a 30-footer, which it was, that showed up on, you know, here that gets the, you know, draws first blood. But it's how it goes at this level. You just cannot give extra outs or extra base runners to an offense, good, bad, indifferent, no matter where they're at, and not expect that some point getting burned by it. And I think that was classically right there in that first inning. I kind of felt like John was kind of maybe working to his guy that he wanted to get out, and then all of a sudden the swinging bunt showed up, and there you go. It's as simple as that.
There were also good things you could take away from this game. And people will go, what are you, crazy? A 6-0 game? Kyle Schwarber nearly took one out. He hit it off the wall.
Yeah, drew a walk and reached base.
Ben Zobrist had a couple of knocks tonight. Javi Baez had a couple of knocks tonight. So there were a few things. The Schwarber thing for me is a huge takeaway.
That's a huge takeaway. He looked, drove the ball out there, but he's got a game under his belt. I think that'll help him going forward if he's in the lineup, when he's in the lineup. And so just seeing pitches under the lights, being here under this atmosphere will help him. But, the Cubs had the chance with the bases loaded, and they happened to have Miller in at the time, and he came in, did not look as sharp, pitched behind a little bit, but came out ahead, and that was the big chance. If we could have just broken the ice there, maybe just put a one up there. Just to get on the board, that would have felt better than leaving them stranded.
I think that's the biggest mountain for me. I mean, I was thrilled to see Schwarber back, and having the impact the way that he did in the ball game, that's pretty amazing what he pulled off tonight, turning Kluber around just like that. But to me, when you look at what this series means moving forward, and then you look at what Andrew Miller represented coming into this game, which I think is on historical proportions, like Mount Everest. The Cubs knocked him down a few pegs, and I think that's important to acknowledge in this one. 47 pitches, 2 innings, 2 walks. I mean, all sorts of traffic out there. Yeah, they had some opportunities. They didn't come through. Addie Russell's at bat. He got a whole bunch of sliders right there, ended up chasing out of the zone. It's what Miller will do, but I felt like they did a good job of getting his pitch count up and making him work. You're going to see a lot more of him.
Who would have thought that Roberto Perez, first Puerto Rican player ever to have a multi-home run game in a World Series, who would have thought he'd be the guy that would beat you tonight? He was outstanding.
He was. He swung the big bat, and the ball was jumping off his bat. But he was up there making something happen and got a couple pitches to drive and make the most out of it. But anyway, the young players, I think they got the some of the pregame hoopla out of the way. Get back to normal business tomorrow, I would think. And so I think that's good for the young players that experience this first game. Got it
absolutely
under their belt.
Yeah, it's great. Well, aren't the lights brighter? I mean, that's the one thing that I always felt in the postseason was they turn on the same way, but they seem like they're just a little bit brighter. You got to get rid of those nerves. They are a little bit bigger.
It's the biggest stage right that there is. All right, time for the Ameristar Casino Resort Hotel pitching recap. And it was Corey Kluber against John Lester. Corey Kluber was just a little bit better tonight. In fact, a whole lot better. He was sharp. John was sloppy tonight.
He was not his best game, but it's something to build off of. I mean, I look at Lester's start and think if we had a little bit of offense to go with it, it may not have ended the way that it did. 97 pitches over 5 2/3 innings. Sure, there were some walks in there. Certainly saw some frustration from John out there on the mound as well tonight. It wasn't the running game that everybody talked about and the 134 stolen bases playing into the night, and they were going to run all over the places I thought it was going to be. If they beat him, it's because they beat him, and they put together better at bats. Kluber, my goodness gracious. I honestly, and I was asking you, Rhino, were you surprised that Kluber came out of the game when he did at 88 pitches after 6 innings?
And just one man on.
And one man on. I was a little bit surprised. It felt slightly desperate because the way I look at this series, they can't lose Kluber starts. And if you got Kluber out there and he's cooking at 88 pitches and you go to Miller, if Miller gets hurt, which he started to get hurt, I thought, boy, oh boy, this could end up burning him.
I agree with that. Kluber was dominant. He was heading the count. Like I said, a lot of no swing strikes, not putting the ball in play, the hitters getting behind in the count. But, yeah, going to Miller there, and what do you throw, about 46, 48 pitches. That's something that'll possibly take the toll.
Tito Francona's got to be going, boy, maybe I should have extended Corey a little bit longer, because I don't know if he'll have Miller tomorrow with that number of pitches.
Well, we're exactly. And in that inning, I mean, with the bases loaded, if we'd just put one up there, might have made it put some pressure on a little bit. Put the ball in play, we could have scored a run.
Right.
So that was a little bit that was disappointing right there.
The Cubs had a couple opportunities today. They didn't get it done with the bases loaded. But I really still take away that Kyle Schwarber turning around Corey Kluber, nearly taking him out of the park, working a walk as well against Andrew Miller. For me, that's a huge win for the Cubs from that perspective. You lost a baseball game, obviously the biggest thing.
Yeah.
But now you know Schwarber can hit.
Well, and I agree with that. I don't think that we doubted that. I think we were just kind of maybe curious as to what he could bring. I mean, we broke it down in the pregame show, sometimes what happens at the front end of spring training. To see him turn Kluber around, that's absolutely outstanding. I mean, I'm excited for him, but you've got to remember, regardless, his impact is limited in this series. What it does is it put the Indians on respect Kyle Schwarber.
On notice.
Right, and you have to. And you saw how he was pitched for the rest of the game. And I think that's important to take note. Like, he'll be in there tomorrow. But then we go back to Wrigley, he's not going to probably be able to play in 3, 4, and 5. Yeah,
Joe just said he has not yet been cleared to play defense.
Right.
At this point, that doesn't mean that he won't be cleared by Friday. Right.
But if he were cleared by Friday with that knee brace on and the way that I
saw, I don't think you're playing him in the
that's
outfield.
That's kind of where I was
you
going
think,
with
Ryan?
That.
I wouldn't think so. I thought he ran. I watched him run for the double. He looked pretty good, but that's a straight line double.
Yeah, well, and I thought it was
in there.
I don't want to say there was any hesitation there. I just thought that it looked a little protected to me. And I would have done the same thing myself. There was no reason for him to bust it. But I guess my point is, are you going to really do that? Are you going to go that far? Maybe you do. I don't know. I don't really know the answer to it. For me, that would be hard for me to believe. I think he becomes a threat off the bench. And so just getting back to that point, your point about Schwarber, absolutely. I think that is one of the bigger moments of this ball game. That for me and working on Miller, because Miller had become just such a big, big star and a big figure in this series, to knock him down a little bit, to make him look vulnerable, even though we didn't score against him. I think there's something to be gained from that. But other than that, Cappy, there wasn't a whole lot positive going on for the Cubs tonight.
No question about it. All right, time for our UPS store, taking care of business, player of the game. And it's really only, you could go two ways, I guess. You could give Perez for the home runs. We're going to give it to Corey Kluber. He dominated the Cubs. Tip your cap. Yeah. Job well done.
He set the tone. He put zeros up there. He was ahead of the hitters. He made it tough on the hitters. Got the early runs from the offense, which always goes a long way with the starting pitching. But he set the tone. He set the tone for the game. We didn't threat until late and then came up short there. But at that point, you know, they had the lead with the early runs and then had the add-on runs at the end.
Yeah, the add-on.
Well, let me just go ahead and, I mean, again, I'll just – they did the same thing to Clayton Kershaw, and I'll just leave it at that. I mean, again, tonight's a – you know, it feels like a rotten game. It is. Corey Kluber absolutely dominated. But, again, Clayton Kershaw in the NLCS, game two, dominated, and, you know, they were able to get after him the second time. So, hopefully, they took something from this outing.
All right, time for our Blue Cross Blue Shield Keys recap. Holly time, 28, take it away.
All right, don't wait around. I don't think the Cubs really did. I thought there was a good, healthy, aggressive approach early against Kluber, but Kluber made pitches, and it was a bit of a double-edged sword. I mean, five strikeouts the first time through the lineup when you're looking to be a little aggressive. But interestingly enough, four of the five strikeouts were looking. So, mm-hmm. The idea was to be aggressive early in the count, and certainly that's what I saw. But, again, there was not enough good contact against Kluber. Part of that being he was making pitches, and then he got nastier as those at-bats went on. So, again, basically you hope that they, you know, extract some good information on Kluber tonight and that they are able to make something out of it the next time they face him. The Indians running game, that was never a factor in this ball game tonight. Lindor had a stolen base and a caught stealing, oh, by the way. So all of that talk about running, that really did not happen as I kind of thought would happen. And the last one was going to be Schwarber. I'm taking it, man. That's the one I get. 1-for-3 tonight. Schwarbs was outstanding. Good to see him swinging the bat. And to me, as Rhino pointed out, what was good to see was there were good quality at-bats. Even the strikeout wasn't a bad strikeout. He worked the count. He saw some sliders. Yeah, he ultimately missed one. But at the end, I thought it was a solid at-bat, and it's something that you build off of. You do not even hesitate to put him in the lineup tomorrow, Cap.
I don't think that there is any panic at all when you lose one game in a best-of-7. You know how Cub fans get a little bit nervous, but one baseball game, you move on, try and win a game tomorrow. Well, right, Rhino?
That's right. Tomorrow's a bounce back game for the Cubs. They have the right guy on the mound. He can set a good tone. Got all the first game hoopla out of the way. I think it's back to business for the Cubs. Get some early runs. Top of the order, I think, is a key.
Against Bauer.
Get some of those guys on base. Tonight, I believe they're 0 for 12. First three guys, 0 for 12. They can set a different tone at the top of the order, get some early base runners, try and get an early number up there on the board for Jake.
He has good stuff. I mean, it's not a soft-tossing guy we're facing.
Talking about Bauer?
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing about Bauer is he is a bit of what do you call it when you don't know what you're going to get? I mean, he's got
a mixed bag.
Well, I mean, he's got a really good arm. He's got a great breaking ball, but he doesn't always throw strikes, and it's as simple as that. And I'm curious to see how it goes tomorrow with the finger and everything else. How aggressive he is against this Cubs lineup that's got just tremendous power and certainly hitters all up and down that he's going to have to respect tomorrow night. So he has the propensity at times to lose command of the strike zone. He'll walk four guys in an inning. He could be great. He might not be.
Boys, I'll see you tomorrow. Warm up.
Sounds good.
We'll see you all tomorrow. Don't forget, game's been moved up by an hour. That means our pregame moves up by an hour. We'll see you tomorrow.